The last two Mishnayos of this parak continue to talk about kelim, which are made up of both wooden parts and metal parts, and it needs to be defined whether the kli as a whole is considered to be a metal utensil, and as such the entire kli would be able to become tomei, despite not being able to hold things, or whether the kli as a whole is considered to be a wooden kli, in which case none of it, even the metal part, would be able to become tomei since it's not able to hold things. Hakadum ha'ashkeloinin, poles made in Ashkelon, which have hooks attached to them. So you have a vertical pole stuck into the ground, which is made out of wood. And coming out of the sides of this pole are several metal hooks from which flasks are hung. Although the biggest part of the structure is obviously the wooden pole, since the entire purpose of the wooden pole is there to serve the metal hooks so that the hooks can hold these flasks, the main part of the kli is considered to be metal, and the entire kli can become tomei, although it should be noted that this pole was not attached to the ground and fixed to the ground, because otherwise it would not be able to become tomei. It was placed on the ground, or in a groove in the ground, but it was not fixed to the ground. Be it as it may, shenishbaru, if the hooks break off from the pole, but the ha'unkeli shalahen kayemes, at least one hook does still remain. Hare'elu tomein, the entire structure can still become tomei because of that single remaining metal hook. Hamaber, a wooden pitchfork, the hamizre, or a large utensil which looks similar to a pitchfork and is used for the process of winnowing. Winnowing is a process in which when there was a mixture of grain which they wanted and they would actually use for eating, processing into bread, but it was mixed with also chaff, which is the unwanted part of the harvested grain. So they would throw this mixture up in the air using this mizre, and the chaff, which was much lighter than the actual grain that was wanted, would be blown away in the wind, and you would be left with just the grain that we wanted, and that would fall down in the same place, and it would no longer be mixed with the unwanted chaff. The hamagoiv, this is another kind of giant fork, but this one had many, many more teeth at the end of it. Not like a pitchfork, which is usually made up of just three or four pieces at the end of it. And this was used after the grain and the chaff had been winnowed. There would still be some chaff remaining in that mixture, and this tool was used to separate that out after the winnowing had been performed. V'chein masrik shel reish, and similarly a hair comb. All of these forks or combs are made of wood. If shenitla achas mishneyan, if one of the teeth, again the teeth refers to these individual parts of the fork, or the comb, each of those parts is called a tooth. So if one of these teeth gets taken off, va'ason shamateches, and he replaced it with a metal tooth, says the Mishnah, hare'elu tomein, the entire kli would now be able to become tomei. And this is very similar to the law which was taught in the previous Mishnah with regards to a key. We already learned a similar case where a key whose teeth are made of wood, but one of the teeth, one of the parts of the key is made of metal. Since even a part of the main bit of the kli is metal, the entire kli is considered to be a metal item and can become tomei. However, the Alkulon, regarding all of the cases of this Mishnah, Amar Rabbi Yeshua said, Divar chidush chidshu soifrim. The scribes, the previous opinion mentioned in the Mishnah, is a novel idea. It's something which I don't understand. Ve'eni malach oshiv, and I would have nothing to answer to somebody who asks me what the explanation of these laws is, because I don't understand. The implication of the Mishnah is possibly that Rabbi Yeshua didn't want to argue because he understood that this is what the Chachamim of the previous generation had stated, but in his own personal opinion he said that he didn't understand, and he's referring both to the first case of the Mishnah, where there was a vertical wooden pole with a single hook remaining. According to Rabbi Yeshua, if there's only one hook instead of several hooks, so it loses its entire identity. That's not significant enough to give it the status of a metal kli, the fact that this big wooden pole has just one metal hook coming out of it. And with regards to the other cases of the Mishnah, where there's only one tooth which is made of metal, again, since the rest of the teeth are made of wood, so it's not considered to be a metal utensil at all. It can't become tomei. It should be noted, interestingly, Rabbi Yeshua did not argue in the previous Mishnah with regards to the teeth of a key, that if one of them is made of metal, even Rabbi Yeshua agrees and understands why over there it can become Tomei, even though the remaining teeth of that key itself are made of wood. Because in that case, each tooth is necessary to open the lock. So even the single metal tooth is considered to be significant enough to make the entire kli able to become Tomei. But with regards to these utensils, like the comb, each individual tooth by itself is not significant. If it was taken away, the tool could still be used, and therefore, if just one of them is made out of metal, that's not enough to allow the entire kli to become Tomei. Masri shel pishton, a comb which is used for combing flax. This is made up of a piece of wood which has metal nails coming out of it. Again, these metal pieces are called teeth in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, if shenitlu shinov, if the metal teeth get taken off, they come off of the comb, then ishtar bo shtayim, however, two of the teeth do remain attached to the piece of wood, tome, the comb can still become tome because it's still fit for use. Even though it might take much longer to comb the flax, at the end of the day, it still can be used for that purpose, and therefore, it's still considered to be a kli. However, v'achas, if there's only one remaining tooth attached to the piece of wood, then tohar, it can no longer become tome because it can't be used anymore. That's with regards to the status of the comb, but v'kulon achas achas b'fnei atzmon, each of those actual teeth by themselves, tomeis, they can become tomei because they can be used for writing on a tablet of wax, which as we've seen in the past few mishnayos, was the equivalent of a modern-day whiteboard or chalkboard, which they could carve into the wax and then smoothen it in order to be able to write again on that same surface. Now, we already saw earlier in this perek that only a nail or a needle that was pretty thick, it wasn't very, very thin like a normal sewing needle, only that was fit for writing on a wax tablet. If the needle or the nail would be very, very thin, then it was not fit for that use. But since for flax, the nails which were attached to the comb were pretty thick, so each one of those by themselves was fit for writing on a wax tablet. Vishal Tzemer, a comb which was used for combing wool, this was slightly different to that which was used for combing flax. Firstly, each of the nails was much thinner, because the wool fibers themselves are thinner. And secondly, it didn't consist of just a piece of wood with one row of metal nails coming out of it, but rather the piece of wood was slightly wider, and there was enough room for generally two rows of these nails. And one of the rows of nails was used to actually just hold onto the wool so that it wouldn't fall away, since again it was much thinner than the flax. It was harder to grip onto it. And the other row of nails was used more for the combing of the wool. So says the Mishnah Vishal Tzemer, a comb of wool, shenitlu shinov achas mebin tayim, if every other nail was taken off, then tohar, the comb can no longer become tomei, because it's no longer fit for combing the wool. Now this Mishnah implies that the problem is that there needs to be a nail next to another nail. And over here, none of the nails are directly next to another of the metal nails, rather, the one next to it was taken away, and there's only one which is further distanced away from that nail. But the implication is that if you were to have one part of that comb that had two nails right next to each other, then it would still be able to become tomei in exactly the same way as the Mishnah taught us with regards to the comb which is used for combing flax. That if there are two nails which are next to each other, then it can still become tomei. But very strangely, the Mishnah goes on to say that nishtar b'sholosh b'makom echad, only if there are three nails which remain next to each other in one place, one part of that comb, tomei, then the comb can become tomei. But that implies that if there are only two nails next to each other, it would not be able to become tomei, unlike the flax comb. But there seems to be a contradiction in implication from one line in the Mishnah to the next. And the truth is the Gemara already takes note of this in Maseches Yevamos, and the Gemara explains that it depends upon which row we're talking about. The row of nails, which is used more for holding onto the wool so that you can actually grip onto it and it won't fall away, that requires three nails next to each other in order for that part of the function of the comb to be fulfilled. Whereas the row of nails, which is used for the actual combing, it's sufficient for two nails next to each other to remain there, just like the two nails of the comb which is used for flax. are enough to fulfill that part of the function of the comb of doing the actual job of combing the wool. Now, the outer nail, the one at the end of each of the rows, was thicker, and it wasn't really a nail, it was more of a straight piece of metal, and it didn't really contribute towards the actual combing of the wool, or gripping onto the wool, and therefore, Hoysachitzer Asmehen, if one of the three adjacent teeth which are still attached to the comb, if one of the three was an outer nail, or an outer piece, then Tohar, the comb cannot become Tomei because it's not considered to be three nails next to each other, because that's not part of the row of nails that actually contributes towards the combing or towards holding onto the wool. Now the Mishnah talks about the individual teeth, once they have come off, what they can be used for. Because these nails, not the outer ones, but the main nails of the comb, are pretty thin, they are not fit for writing on a wax tablet. So the Mishnah is going to search for other uses of these small metal teeth. If two of the nails come off, and he made them into tweezers, he attached them together on one end by bending them. I guess these metal pieces were a bit similar to paper clips in that they could be bent pretty easily. So if he attached two of them and made them into tweezers, then tomeis they can become tomei because they now have a very clear defined use. Achas, if there is one metal tooth which came off, what can be done with that? It can't be used for writing. So the Mishnah says this kinola ner, if he fixed it and adapted it slightly in order to be able to use it for cleaning out a holder of a lamp, that which holds the wicks and the oil. So this would just involve bending the end of the piece of metal slightly, and then it could be used for cleaning out the lamp. Or if he designated it for using as part of the process of stretching woven material by placing it in the corner of the material on a piece of wood. So again, these are clear functions of the metal, and even though they can't hold anything, metal does not need to hold anything in order to become tomei, and therefore tomeiah, they would be able to become tomei once they are designated for their new purpose. Perek Gedal Mishnah Aleph. This is the final perek discussing metal kalim, and as with each different material, there are a number of different discussions which need to be talked about in terms of the laws of impurity of that particular material. One is what is necessary for the item to be considered to be a kli, and as we have seen, metal items are different to the vast majority of kalim, in that a metal item can be considered a kli and fit to become tomei, even if it's not able to hold and contain things. Another area of discussion is when the item breaks. And already we've seen many Mishnayos talk about broken metal items. And the purpose of the first part of this Mishnah is to illustrate a significant difference, once again, between metal kalim and wooden and earthenware and the majority of other kalim. With regards to most kalim, as long as they are able to still fulfill any function and be used, they can become tomei. Even if as a result of breaking, it can no longer fulfill its original purpose. On the other hand, a metal kli can only become tomei once it's broken if it can still fulfill its original designated function. And one very logical explanation of this difference is that metal is much easier to repair once it's broken than wooden or earthenware or other materials. And because of that, even once it's broken, we don't now say, okay, so let's look for a different purpose that it can be used for. No, it's still considered to be designated for the same original use, just that right now it's in a broken state. So right now it can't become tomei, but it's sort of bound to be repaired, and therefore once it is repaired, then it will be able to become tomei once more. And the truth is midrabbanan even more than that. We learned that midrabbanan it would even return to its original state of tumah. And part of the reason being, because it's so easy to just break and repair, we're concerned that people, instead of dipping it into the mikveh, into a collection of natural water in order to purify it, they would just break it and then repair it because of how easy it is to repair metal items. Be it as may, that is the law, and this is what the Mishnah comes to illustrate, that klei matreis kamhu shi'uran, metal items which break, what is the minimum size, or the minimum that they need to be able to do in order to still become tomei? Hadali, a metal bucket, used for filling up water from a well, as long as it's still able to be filled with water and use it to draw water from the well, enough water to drink, then it would still be able to become tome. Kumkum, a kettle, has to be big enough to be able to warm, to heat up enough water to drink. Mecham, a urn, which is larger than a regular kettle. Kedeli kabel slime, has to be large enough to be able to hold sela coins. This is smaller than the size which is needed to heat up water, and the reason is because even when the urn is complete, and it hasn't been broken, occasionally it is used for holding coins. So as long as it can still do that, it would still be able to become tomei, because that's considered to be part of its original function. Halafos, a large pot which was usually used for washing up other smaller items inside the water which was filled up and heated in that pot. As long as it can still hold very small jugs, and those jugs can be placed in there to be washed, it can still become tomei. Kisoinos, those small jugs themselves, if they are made of metal, can they color prutos, as long as they're able to still hold pruto coins, which are smaller than sela coins, they can become tome, because occasionally the jugs were used for that purpose. Midos yayin biyayin, utensils used for measuring wine, can still become tome as long as they're still able to measure wine. Umidos shemen b'shemen, and utensils used for measuring oil can still become tome as long as they are able to be used for measuring oil. But it has to be that same liquid, because that is what they were originally designated for. Rabbi Yezer, Omer B'Eliezer says, with regards to all of these utensils, kulam b'prutos, as long as any of them are still able to hold pruto coins, they can become tome, even though this was not a common use and it wasn't designated for this originally. Since it was always fit for such a purpose, which means that on the rare occasion it might have indeed been used for that, so once they break, it's sufficient that they can still be used for holding those small coins for them to be able to still be tome. Now, we learned in Perek Yud Beis another rule which applies specifically to metal items, but once they've been completed to the extent that they are now very much usable, it's just that there are certain finishing touches which haven't yet been performed. Since those finishing touches for metal items are considered to be especially significant, presumably because of the appearance of metal items is considered to be a very important part, more than, for example, earthenware items. So because of that, before those finishing touches have been performed and completed, the item is not considered to be ready, and therefore it's not considered to be a kli that can become tomei. And Rabbi Akiva gives an example of this. Hamechusar chatifa tomei. If the thing that is lacking is the creation of a lid for the item, then the item can become tomei. The lid is considered to be something external. It's not part of the actual kli. Hamechusar letisha, however, if it is lacking smoothening, then tohar, it cannot yet become tomei, because that's considered to be a finishing touch to the kli itself. Mishnah Beis. This Mishnah returns to a discussion that was the focus of many of the Mishnahs in the previous Perek. Items which are made of both metal parts and wooden parts, what's considered to be the primary part of the kli, which defines the status of that kli, whether it's metal and therefore it can become tome even without being able to hold or contain things, or if it's considered wood and therefore it would not be able to become tome unless it can actually hold something. Makel, a wooden stick, she'osa b'roisha masmer k'min chazina, that somebody attached a piece of metal in the shape of a ball, and this was used really to hit people, to cause them pain, and because of that, the main part is this metal ball at the end of the stick, and therefore tome, the entire stick can become tome, because the primary part is the metal ball at the end. Simroi, if he added nails to the side of this metal ball, such that it's now got spikes coming out of it, which would be much more painful, of course, tome, the entire item can become tome once again, because even now the main part is obviously the metal. Rabbi Shimon says, Achiyase by Shalisha Sidorim, only if he attaches three rows of metal nails to the ball, only then can it become tome, because then it's clearly for the sake of causing extra pain to the person who's going to be hit. But if there are less nails than that, then it shows that the purpose of the nails, and automatically the ball itself, is more for the sake of decoration, decorating the stick, which means that the main part is the stick, and therefore it would not be able to become tome, since the main part is wood, and the item cannot hold anything. And in any of these cases, if he explicitly added that thing at the end of the stick for the sake of beautification and decoration, then obviously Tahirin, it would not be able to become Tomei, because then certainly the main part is the wooden stick. Also, Bereisha made Nikis. For the end of a regular wooden walking stick, he made a metal tip in order not to allow the wooden stick to wear away. And likewise, a door. This is not referring to a door of a house, because that can never become Tomei, but the door of a movable item. If at the bottom of that door, the wooden door, he placed some metal in order that the wood wouldn't wear away once again. Tahirah, this metal and the entire item cannot become Tomei, because that's all serving the wooden part, which is the main part of the kli. Now, interestingly, the Mishnah says, Hoysa kli, if the metal part which he attached to the door or to the walking stick, if it was originally a metal kli, had a particular function and it could become Tomei, and v'chibraloi, then he attached it to the stick or to the door, Tomeya, at this point the metal part can still become Tomei. The wooden part can't, but the metal part can still become Tomei. And here we see a distinction that comes up in many Mishnayos in the Masechta between something which already has the status of a kli and something that we're trying to give the status of a kli. If something was originally a kli and we're trying to take away the status of it being a kli, then something actually has to be done with the item. If all that you do is just attach it to the door, that doesn't stop it from being a kli. Mem Sayita Rasa, what would you need to do in order to stop it being a kli such that it would not be able to become Tomei? He has to destroy it in some way, he has to break it in a particular way that would mean that it's no longer fit for its original purpose. Then it would no longer be able to become Tomei. Basil say it's enough just to attach it fully and permanently to the walking stick or to the door, and then it now is no longer fit for the original purpose because it's permanently attached to something else. But without permanently attaching it to the other item, it would still be able to become Tomei, because it already has the status of a kli.